Mm-hmm. Rob, you make me want to hum right there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-mm. Speech, I'm ready to go marching, brother. I'm ready to go.
Yeah.
I'm going to put the fist in the air.
Start marching.
Start marching, man.
Put that black glove on.
How was that, man? Tell what, after said and done, that right there, it probably introduced you guys to another world, man.
That joint right there was amazing. And we went to the movie premiere, got to hang out with Denzel and everybody that was in the movie. And, you know, I honestly, you know, Spike Lee, like I said, we got to Brooklyn. We had 7 hours to shoot this video. We shot it. He had about easily 500 extras in the video.
Wow.
And he shot three locations in 7 hours. So organized, so well thought out, you know, such a creative dude. And, yeah, just excellent work. You know what I'm saying? I mean, so many times we hear about some negative stuff that black people have done, or black men especially that are doing. And I just have to lift the cat up because it was excellence. I mean, excellence. Right. I worked with directors of all races, but to work with Spike, I just want to say that the dude was really excellent at what he does, you know, and it was really powerful stuff.
Wow, good. We got somebody on the phone line. They want to ask you a question. A fan call in, and she's a diehard Rest Development fan. She got a question you want to ask you. Go ahead, Charity, ask your question.
Hi, I was calling. First of all, Revolution, I'm glad you just played it. That is my favorite song. I always go to the end of the credits for on the Malcolm X DVD just to hear it and love it. And wanted to know where you were going to be in Michigan.
Question is, she wanted to know where you're going to be at Michigan.
Yeah, y'all probably know better than me. I know I'm dropping up in there coming up this weekend. And,
I'm fine.
I know it's called the Bliss Fest. Right. I know that it's going to be nice. You know, it's on our website, though, arresteddevelopmentmusic.com. You know, as a musician, just so people know, it's not that I'm cocky about it. I just, sometimes I don't be knowing where I'm going. I have a lot to do with booking the gigs, and once they're booked, then I leave it alone and just sort of, you know, I'm slave to the rhythm. You know what I'm saying? So we just sort of do what we do, and we make sure we show up on time and try to do our thing the right way. But at the same time, I rarely know where I'm going tomorrow, you know? That's just the truth.
It's Petoskey, Michigan, Charity. That's near Travis City.
Okay. Well, glad to know you all are still doing it, and I like the new song, and wish you the best.
Thank you, baby. I appreciate that.
All right,
you're welcome.
Thanks for calling, Charity. Thanks for calling.
All right. Bye-bye.
Well, on the phone line, Speech from Arrested Development is on the phone line. On your second CD, second album you came out with, you named a CD has something to do with Africa. I can't even pronounce the word. It sounds like one of Swahili.
Zingalamaduni. You know, hey, a lot of times people ask me, they say, well, you know, do you feel like the industry tried to keep you guys back? You know, and I think the answer really is yes. I think that there was some stuff going on that's above my head, to be honest, that kept some stuff back. I mean, they didn't promote the record. So I think what really, you know, the second album was called Zingalamaduni. It's a lot of people's favorite record of ours, and a lot of people haven't heard it. So it's Kiswahili, and it means Beehive of Culture. And a lot more conscious record than even the first one. So I think we went a little deeper. And I think that's why a lot of people within the establishment had to do what they did to try to stop it from reaching as many people as the first record did.
What did you talk about on the second realm? Because it was nominated for a Grammy.
Yeah, it was, which was a good thing. And we talked a lot, you know, about a lot of things. But I think it had more of a African, a lot more African subject matter, you know, and themes in it than the first record did. And like I said, I think to some extent, I think it was, you know, just held back by various people within the business at that time.
Wow.
Speech, why do you think places like Japan and UK and Africa even, they get it, but the United States, they don't seem like they get it?
Well, I think that they haven't been worked at as much. In other words, those places you mentioned haven't been worked at as much as the United States have. You know, it's been a lot of effort put into keeping us dumbed down, keeping us you know, not thinking about the things we ought to be thinking about. Mm-hmm. And those other countries, you know, the powers that be here don't have the reach over there as much. And so they can hear the music and they judge it for what it is. If they think it's good, then they think it's good. If they don't, then they don't. Whereas over here, whether it's good or bad, we've been, you know, programmed a lot. The media has a lot to do with that. A lot of the laws that are passed have a lot to do with that. You know, I was telling somebody recently, and I think it was in 96, there's this, man, I forget the name of it, but I guess Telecom Act or something like this that was passed, and it had a lot to do with the lack of balance that we're hearing on radio today, when a lot of the companies were buying up other companies and not allowing them to really speak or play the music that they would want to play. So, I mean, I think a lot of these things have to do with why it's tougher to break in with this type of music in America.
Mm. Wow. We're going backwards.
Yeah.
Going backwards.
And you have stations like ours that's all over the country that are trying to get music like yours.
Right.
But it's, you know, a lot of times. Yeah, the access to it is sometimes that's our issue. We can't get to it. We don't know about it.
Exactly right, yeah. And that's, I mean, I love that y'all, you know, reached out and that we were reaching back, because from this point forward, you won't have any problems getting stuff from us. We'll make sure we're connected, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's love, and I appreciate what y'all do, you know what I'm saying? Radio stations like you guys and minds like you guys, man, it's so needed and it's so important.
Thank you. Speech. I want to talk about Everyday People, man, that song.
Yeah.
And the message that you was trying to relate. And Everyday People. This was the one that got you up off your feet.
yeah, man. That joint right there is to this day, is such a dance floor classic. I mean, we go to places around the world, and of course, U.S. I mean, so many people really resonate with that joint. And I was in Milwaukee at the time when I wrote that song, and, you know, it's this classic example of just different mindsets in the same community. And really, it's just about, you know, two different parts of the community, both of them oppressed. One is trying to wallow in that oppression and not get out of it, and the other one is trying to get out of it, and they clash together, you know, they're clashing against each other. And it's a reality that everybody faces at some point or another, you know. But yeah, Everyday People, it's just saying at the end of the day, I'm everyday people. And wow. You know, so I think it's, you know, it's one of those joints where people relate to it. I remember when we first did that song, Eric Sermon from EPMD came up to us and was like, yo, I got to get this track. And he related to the lyrics of what I was saying in that record. And at the same time, Ice Cube, who I'm actually a fan of, but I threw a little diss at him a little bit, because at the time he wrote this track that was dissing black women. He said, I kicked the girl in the tummy. He was talking about a pregnant woman.
Wow.
And I didn't like that at the time, so I don't like it now, but right. I like him as an artist. You know what I'm saying? I think he's an incredibly talented artist and a smart businessman. I'm not dissing the brother personally. So anyway, when I put that in the song, you know, he didn't like that. So we had two different opposing vibes, some people that loved the song and some people that was a little upset about it. So,
but at the end of the day, I think Ice Cube, we go back and think about it, he know that was not smart.
Yeah.
Of course. I mean, Ice Cube is a very smart dude. I already know that he knows what's up. That, you know,
and he respects you. He just respects you now because you called him out. And it was the appropriate thing to do because that was wrong. What if all the people that heard that started going kicking their women in the stomach?
Exactly right. I mean, the thing is, too, I think we always got to realize just because somebody calls you out on something, that's an example of love, really, more so than it is hate. If you're calling out somebody to try to lift them up, you'd say, yo, bro, don't do that. You know, that's saying you love them. You know what I'm saying? If you don't love them, you leave it alone.
Right.
But, you know, if you love somebody, you say something. That's how, you know, even when you're talking to your family members, you know what I'm saying? It's like, if you love them, you go say something.
Yeah, that's so true.
You know, I love that cat. He's a cool dude. And I like what he's, a lot of what he's said has been so deep and so profound, you know, that I give him love on that. And then a lot of stuff some stuff he said wasn't right, you know what I'm saying? So I just wanted to say it in the record.
All right. Speeches on the front. Can you set that song? I want to play Everyday People.
Yeah, bye. Arrested Development's third joint right here. People every day, everyday people. Giving props to Sly Stone, one of the legends in the music industry, and of course, giving props to the whole movement. Peep it out.
Yo, this is K-Liner from Arrested Development. I was fleek.
I was fleek.
My day was going great and my soul was at ease until a group of brothers started bugging out, drinking the 40 ounce,
going
disrespecting my black queen, holding their crosses and being obscene. At first I ignored them, cause see I know the type. They got drunk, they got guns, and yes they wanna fight. And they see a young couple having a time that's good. And the Eagles wanna test their brother's manhood. So they came to test speech cause of my heritage. And the loud bright colors that I wear. I was a target cause I'm a fashion misfit. And the outfit that I'm wearing, brothers dissing it. Well I stay calm and pray leave me be. But they squeeze the parts of my date's anatomy. Why Lord, two brothers have to drill me. Cause if I stop to hit this man, they'll have to kill me. Take the brother out for being rude.
Hey!
And like I said before, I was mad about it. It took three or four cops to pull me off
they
of him.
Off
but
of
that's
him.
The story, y'all,
story,
of a black man. Get stomped by an African.
That got you up, brother.
Oh, yeah.
That got you up. Wow. Arrested Development, Everyday People, speeches on the phone lines.
Everyday People.
Speech, man. Thank man, you've been hanging out with us, man. Thank you for giving us time, man.
Oh, no. It's all good, man. It's been fun.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I want to ask you about advice before we wrap this thing up. I want to ask you about advice to aspiring artists out there.
Man, find your voice, you know what I'm saying? Because for me, you know, we started off trying to do gangster hip-hop because that's what everybody else was doing. And we was young, we was impressionable, and we never made it. You know, a lot of labels was like, well, there's already a group like that. There's a group like that. I think that the biggest advice I give people is find your own voice, because we all been through some stuff that is pretty unique to us, and yet people can relate to it. But you got to find a way to bring it out that you're supposed to do, not copy everybody else. So that's what I would say.
Okay.
Find your voice.
And you know what? We've been talking for like 45 minutes, and we got to give out your website. Give out the website and Twitter and all that.
How they can follow you and know where you're at.
No doubt. I appreciate it. Our website is arresteddevelopmentmusic.com, and you can get all of our joints right there, music, news, the whole nine yards, videos. But also, we got some great contests going on. We're about to do Unsung. TV One has this really cool show called Unsung.
Yes,
yeah, I watch it every week.
Yeah, me too. So we're about to do that. August 6th it comes out, so you know everybody peep that out. In fact, our record comes out on the same day, August 6th. So you know it's gonna be love. August 6th is gonna be a big day for us. And then you know you can peep us out on Twitter at AD the band Twitter. So check us out there. Facebook Arrested Development. You know so. You know, you get us everywhere. We're pretty much on all of the social networks, you know.
You got your own website, speechmusic.com, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah. Speechmusic.com is my site. And been, you know, rocking solo joints that if you've never heard my solo material, I do a lot more singing on my solo stuff. I try to get loose with that and express myself on that level. So, you know, peep that out, too. You get all of our joints right there at speechmusic.com. as far as the solo stuff.
Right. Now, who are you going to be working with in the near future? You got anything that's coming up that you're excited about?
Wait a minute. He said he was going to be on Unsung, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
You know the type of people that get on Unsung?
Yeah. He's legends. They get legends.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
He's a legend. They're legends.
So, I mean.
How long did that took a minute, huh?
It took a minute to sink in. Wait a minute. He said he was going to. I'm Tina Marie and
he's on that level. They on
like, this. Wait a minute. You get on Unsung, that's like the Arsenio Hall back in the day.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's right. You're right.
I mean, I'm just being real with you. You say y'all going to be on there August 6th, right?
August 6th, baby. August 6th.
And I'll be watching it every Monday.
It's going to be nice. It's going to be nice. I mean, we're excited about that. And, in fact, we like that show so much, we asked them if we could do it, and they said yes. Because, I watch it, and I was like, man, I would love for us to do this joint. And they said yes, so we did an episode on there.
Wow. And what it does to me, it puts you back in contact with those artists such as yourself that maybe in America we don't hear too much from,
That's exactly right. That's why we wanted to do it. I feel you. You know, a lot of people don't know what we've been up to.
Right.
So this is sort of get them caught up, and, maybe they can stick with us for a minute now. We ride together.
Wow. Speeches on the Phone Line, Rest of Development. Your second album, we already talked about Africa, but I want to ask you, have you ever been to the motherland?
Yeah, he said he did shows over there.
Yeah, we do shows, but even when I was a kid, ever since I was 2 years old, my parents took me over there. And, I got an adopted brother named Bright, who's from Ghana, and my mom was heavy on the whole adopted and foster children tip. So she did a lot of foster kids. Growing up, I would see a lot of foster kids run through the house, And then, of course, when she adopted my brother, he was from Ghana. So, I got a real straight-up education as to a lot of the misconceptions about Africa and what people were saying here and what's the truth and how educated them jokers are and how they know multiple languages and doing great in school and all of the stuff that we think, they run it around with bones in their noses. And, we got this crazy perception of what was going on over there. And you start to realize that a lot of this stuff is purposeful, that they try to keep us from understanding stuff. And so my brother was living in our house, so I understood closer what was really going on.
Do you think that we've been played with, our minds, brains?
Oh, without a doubt. I don't think it. I know it. And even while I was in Milwaukee, I got six kids with me while I'm here, and we're sort of mentoring them and helping them to get some jobs here and stuff like that. And wow. One of the girls that's staying with my little daughter, they're both about 15. The girl was like, yo, I want to marry a white guy. I'm not against anybody marrying anybody if it's love. She said, I want to marry a white guy. She said, why? I said, why? And, I was just curious. And she was like, because black people are all violent. And I don't want a man that's violent. I don't want to marry into a race that's jacked up and everything's wrong with it. And she was just being honest. She's a black girl. And so I was like, a lot of the youth have so much to learn about who we are and what's really been going on. So we started talking about it. So when you mentioned the whole map of Africa thing, that's probably one of the things that when I have a follow-up talk with her, I'm going to talk about, because a lot of people just don't understand what we've been subjected to. And one of my favorite books, Brainwashed, helps to explain, the ways that not just black people have been brainwashed, but white people too. And some of the kids that stand with me in this program are white too. So it's like both races have been so subjected to all of this negative imagery. It's a lot of reprogramming that's needing to be done.
And we got a long way to go, though.
Yes, sir, we do. And that's why, you can't stop. Rebel without a pause, baby.
Speech, state of black America, man, before we go. What do you think the state of black America is?
Well, I mean, the fact of the matter is, and this is not to depress. My main goal is to inspire and invigorate people to move forward and really see the urgency of doing what we got to do. It's worse than it was before. We used to own more land than we own now. Back in the 1920s, we owned more land than we own now, more farms than we own now, more opportunities than we have now. So the fact is, we're going backwards. We've got to move forward. And that's not to depress nobody that's listening. It's just to say, man, it ain't no joke. And if you don't do nothing about it, it doesn't just get better by ignoring it. So we got it. We got some work to do.
Wow. Well, okay, man. Wow. Thank you for being patient. Before we go, speech, Mr. Wendell, man, also another hot song, man. Tell me how you know about writing this song. What was it all about?
Yeah, man, Mr. Wendell, real cat. You know, his name wasn't Wendell, but a real dude from Atlanta. You know, we used to, in the studio, we would have a lot of homeless cats come by, shoot out, you know, vibes with us, and we'd kick it and just sort of talk. And real casual vibes. And this one cat really made an impression on me and helped me sort of come up with the concept for the song. And I'm grateful to him. It's funny because he died right before we released the song, but he heard the song and loved it and knew that I was dedicating it to him. And but he happened to pass away right before the song jumped out. So, but it's all good, you know. He got to smell the roses before he left. And, you know.
Wow, good.
Mr. Wendell.
It's classic, man. Thank you for the time, man. We're going to post this on also on bestblacknews.com. We own that website. We're going to post that, and we're going to keep in contact. Keep doing your thing, man. So impressive reading about you, man.
We appreciate it. Peep out ArrestedDevelopmentMusic.com, and then peep out CommunityJournal.net. That's my mom's newspaper I've been telling everybody about, CommunityJournal.net.
Yes. Hey, also, Speech, I want to get this to you, man. This is our applause. From all the kids, all the listeners, to Arrested Development and Speech, for your commitment and hard work, perseverance. You are the definition of Imara. Mm-hmm. I just want to get that to you, brother. From my heart, from my heart. We'll see you this weekend, man.
Thanks, brothers. See you this weekend. Let's party together.
All right.
All right, brother. Take it easy.
All right.
Dollar. In fact, no, brother man, here, have two. $2 means a snack for me, but it means a big deal to you. Be strong, serve God only. Know that if you do, beautiful heaven awaits. Esther pulled my rope for the first time. I saw a man with no clothes, no money, no plate, Mr. Wendell. That's his name. No one ever knew his name, cause he's a no one. Never thought twice about spending on an old bum until I had a chance to really get to know one. Now that I know him, to give him money isn't charity. He gives me some knowledge, I buy him some shoes. And to think blacks spend all their money on big colleges, still most of y'all come out confused. Go ahead, Mr. Wendell. Go ahead, Mr. Wendell. Mr. Wendell has freedom, a free that you and I think is dumb. Free to be without the worries of a quick to this society, for Mr. Wendell's a bum. His only worries are sickness and an occasional harassment by the police in their chase. Uncivilized, we call him, but I just saw him eat off the food we waste. Civilization, are we really civilized? Yes or no? Who are we to judge when thousands of innocent men could be brutally enslaved or killed over a racist grudge? Mr. Wendell has tried to warn us about our ways, but we don't hear him talk. Is it his fault when we've gone too far? And we got too far, cause on him we've walked. Mr. Wendell, a man, a human in flesh, but not by law. I bid you dignity to stand with pride. Realize that all in all, you stand tall. Go ahead, Mr. Wendell.
after we